Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's that time again for Successapes. We've got your recipe for success in business and living, and I'm your host, Lori Wilk. It is great to have you with us. Our show today is live. Our phone lines will be open during the show. If you'd like to call in and speak to our guest or say hi to me, our number today is 347-237-5638. Our show today, we're going to be talking to the author of an amazing book. He's a leadership expert, and he's going to be sharing with us results-driving business success principles. So please help me welcome to our show today, Gordon Treadgold. Hey, Gordon.
Hey, Lori. How are you doing?
Good. You are out there as an Inc. magazine top 100 leadership expert and the number one leadership expert to follow on Twitter, so I'm really honored that you made time to be on Successapes today. Talk a little bit about your background.
So I spent some, I guess people can tell from the accent, I'm not American, I'm English. I'm from the north of England, from a place called Leeds. And I studied mathematics at university, and then I spent 30 years working in IT, delivering projects, running large departments and large change programs. And having done that, One of the elements that's really difficult, it's very easy to build IT systems, but it's the cultural change when you're delivering new systems and managing large, global, complex teams that really gave me that interesting leadership and a lot of experience, which I'm now looking to share through my books. And also, as well, I had a reputation for turning around failing projects, so I got a lot of insights into what causes failure and how we can avoid them and put ourselves on the road to success. So that's my background, and that's what I'm looking to do now.
Now, with your background in education and mathematics and being a structured, analytical type of a guy, did you think that made it easier for you to become the leadership expert that you are today?
Yes and no. I'm really good at problem solving, and I'm really good at analyzing data, seeing patterns, and understanding what's going on. And that really allowed me to be successful in delivering projects. But what made me a leadership expert was it actually came from playing sport. And I used to play a lot of rugby. So I was when I was younger, you know, I learned pretty quickly that even an average team with great team spirit can outperform some better teams. So that's really where my leadership experience came from, and I applied a lot of those kind of principles. And then the analytic, the ability to deliver success, made people want to work with me.
I love that. And this, we're going to talk today about your latest book, and it's called FAST, F-A-S-T, and it has four principles that all the businesses need to help them to achieve success and have results. So this is not your first book. Let's talk a little bit about this new one and also mention what you've done previously.
So my first book was called Leadership, It's a Marathon, Not a Sprint, and that was a lot more about it. That was a kind of a general book on leadership. I wanted to share a lot of principles and practices that I'd use to drive projects, manage and lead people, motivate people. And when I was trying to write it, I was struggling with the structure. You know, it's not like a novel where you can just write boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy finds girl. With a leadership book, you kind of need to know where the book's going. And whilst I was trying to write it, I actually ran a marathon, my first ever. And what I found was that what I was having to do to get myself to run a marathon was very similar to what I'd done in business. So I wrote the book, Leadership, It's a Marathon, Not a Sprint, and used that as an analogy of how you could apply leadership techniques in order to achieve a big fundamental change in the way we do things and actually achieve something.
Oh, that is so awesome. And you are published, your publisher is out in Las Vegas. Talk a little bit about that whole experience of being a published author?
So that was so my first book was interesting. When I did my first book, I was looking for a publisher, and it was going to take 18 months, and I thought, I can't wait for that. So I went and got I actually did a self-publish for the first book, and it was a good experience, and they did a really good job. And then with the second book with Fast, I had three or four different publishers who were. I was discussing with. I was going to say they were interested, but that's not strictly true. they were wanting to produce the book, but four of the publishers made me fill in form after form, and I had to write about how big my following was, and I had to write about how this book differed from other books and what was the benefit, blah, 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 blah. And then I was asked to go and speak in Las Vegas by Ken Dunne, the CEO of Next Century Publishing. And while we were talking, he said to me, I follow a lot of your leadership writing, and I love what you do. I think you're a great writer. Could we publish your next book? And I said, really? And he said, yep, absolutely. Send me a copy, and we'll move forward. And I said, you don't want me to fill in loads of forms and explain why? And he went, nope, we want to publish your book. So
it was like
going on a date with somebody that actually liked you, rather than, you know, some kind of blind date where we'd just been set up and you were having to try and, you know, approve a lot of things. They desperately wanted to print the book, and I got to go and speak at their conference, and Ken's launched a platform called Reader's Legacy, which is kind of a Facebook for books and for authors, and he's a really inspiring guy. And having spent, you know, a couple of hours with him on the phone, I thought, yep, this is who I want to publish my book with. They want to publish it with me, and we had a really good relationship. And he actually sold 10,000 copies pre-launch to one company. So we've already sold 10,250, and the book's not officially launched until October 20th.
I know, and thank you so much for being here on Success with Ease and allowing me to help spread the word even faster. And you have me, I'm actually writing your national article for you as well. That's coming out. We also are working together with your amazing publicity people. Definitely would love to give a shout out to the Johnsons, who I have known for a number of years, and you're in good hands with their company as for publicity. So you're just set up right. Let's get into talking about Fast.
Well,
now, I like one of the things that you say, you know, as far as that this you're about simplicity, but that things that are simple and clear are not necessarily easy.
No, absolutely. Just because we found the simplest way to do it doesn't mean it's easy. When I ran my first marathon, I found a plan that was the simplest available, and I read through it. And when I read through it, it just started off with me running for 15 minutes a day, and I was fat, 52, and unfit. It was, the thought of running a marathon was probably the last thing that should have been in my mind. But when I looked at this plan, it was really simple. You run 15 minutes a day, and then you add 5 minutes to your longest run at the weekend, then you just wash, rinse, repeat, and over 24 weeks you're running for 5 hours. So it a very, very simple plan, but let me tell you, running five times a week isn't easy, and running 26 miles at the end of it wasn't easy. But I had a simple plan, and it was one I believed in. And my experience is that people are not afraid of hard work, they're afraid of failure. And if we can give them a simple plan, then they can believe that they're going to be successful, and then they'll put that hard work in. Because if you don't believe you're going to be successful, and that failure is the option, why would you work hard? You might as well take it easy and fail. Take it easy and fail. Sit by the pool sipping pina coladas and fail, rather than working your fingers to the bone just to fail.
Right. And for some people, sitting by the pool drinking those pina coladas might be success. So it's all in the perspective.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Exactly. So where do where do we begin in this overall process? And we have this book, Fast, but where do you start people?
So Fast is about, it's about the four things, the four areas that people usually don't get right and cause you to fail. So you need all four to be successful. And these are focus, and that's about what are you trying to do. You have accountability, that's who's trying to do it. Simplicity is about the how. And then transparency is about visibility into what's completely involved. So like the marathon, I needed to know that I was going to have to train for 24 weeks and run 5 days a week. Because if you don't know that and you just think it's a question of turning up on the day, you might find that you don't have the time or the capacity to do everything that's required. And then the other part of transparency is about monitoring and tracking your progress to actually see you're progressing. And if you've got an ongoing initiative, what I tell people is just do a quick assessment of those four things and ask yourself, which one are you weakest in? And if it's transparency, go and fix that. If it's simplicity, go and fix that. But if you're actually starting a new initiative, then the place to start is always with the first letter of FAST, focus. Because you must know what it is you're trying to do. You know, if you're playing golf and you don't know where the green is, which way are you going to hit the ball? Doesn't matter how well you swing, you know, you need to know where the target is so we can and we need to be able to communicate and share that with our, you know, if you've got a team, you've got to be able to communicate and share that with your team. So get the focus right, know what success looks like, know what the objective is, and then go for it.
You say in your book that 95% of failures actually result from one of two reasons. Can you share with us what they are?
Yeah, it's again, I keep things very, very simple. And people either fail because they're doing the wrong job, and that means, you know, you don't have the right focus you don't have the right person doing that job, or you fail because you're doing a poor job. So those are the only two reasons we fail. We're doing the wrong thing or we're doing it badly. And focus and accountability help you make sure you do the right job, and simplicity and transparency help you do a good job. And when you do a good job and the right job, then you'll be successful. I mean, it really is as simple as that. I know it sounds like motherhood and apple pie, but if you really look into it, it absolutely works.
I love that. And, you know, sometimes you see there's a lot of companies that are starting now as we've, you know, transitioned over the last couple of years and little things changed around in the economy, and you found a lot of people stepping on board and creating companies and becoming the entrepreneurs and getting out there, and other companies having to revise and change their plans and do things differently than they had done in the past. Do you find when the companies are starting that it's more likely or more common that they don't have necessarily all of the right people doing what they need to project them into the ultimate success? Can you share?
So one of the things I find with entrepreneurs and solopreneurs that are starting up, quite often they are experts, and I fall into this category as well. And when it comes to being an entrepreneur and running a business and being successful, there's two things you have to do. You have to work in the business and on the business. And if you're an expert like I am, you tend to gravitate to in the business. But if you don't have anybody working on the business, selling it, developing it, you know, working on the business is like oxygen, and without it, your business will suffocate and die. And too many businesses, they're focused about the product and not about the sales.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you have to have money coming in order to be able to grow and to be able to sustain your company. You know, that's definitely the lifeblood of the business and being able to stay in business. And too many businesses don't make it. So
right.
I think that going to your, you know, principles and, you know, getting down to the basics, you're like the basics boot camp of, okay, let's get real here.
Absolutely.
You know, let's get real. Let's shake up the business world a little bit. and, you know, figure out what we're doing, figure out who should be doing it, where we're supposed to be going, what we're missing, and, you know, get some help, because I guess none of us can do this alone. And I love the word accountability. You know, let's talk about accountability for a little bit.
But I think I just want to come back a little bit. Everything you said then was absolutely spot on. And what I tend to see is that people think we're living in the 21st century. We've got Periscope, Twitter, offshore working, virtual assistants, blah, blah, blah. And everything now is super complicated. Well, kind of. But if you don't get those basics that you just mentioned right, you're going to struggle. And I think people do think it's a lot more complex than it is. And there's tons of businesses that have got fantastic products that go bankrupt because they don't have anybody selling those products. And, you know, and with accountability for entrepreneurs, I always tell them, you need to have people working on and in the business. So who's working on your business? Who's responsible for business development? And, you know, for entrepreneurs, there's only two ways that money come into your business, really, and that's one is selling more to existing customers, or selling to new customers. And if you don't have a plan, if you don't have a plan for those two things, you're missing out on the only two sources of revenue. So you need to, you know, don't overcomplicate it. Think it through, think it on a simple level. And with a lot of new businesses, I think, I'm not sure what the statistic is, it's something like 37% of your sales come from your existing network. So are you selling to your existing network? I mean, a lot of people don't know who their ideal customers are. And if you don't know who your customers are, they don't know who you are, and you can't target the marketing for them. But when it comes to accountability, there's accountability is about who's doing the work and how are we going to hold them accountable. And there's a couple of simple things to do with accountability that I'd share with your listeners. And the two of them are, firstly, leadership defines culture. So if you want people to be accountable, you have to be accountable. It's like being a parent who smokes and tells his kids don't smoke. Why should they listen to you? You know, it doesn't work. when we make a commitment, we have to meet that commitment. And when you do that, people will take your lead. And then the other thing with accountability is to hold people accountable for outcomes. Don't hold them accountable for following a process. Don't necessarily tell them how you would do it if they are an expert. Because if you do that, then they're going to follow your process. And when it fails, it's your fault. So hold them accountable for outcomes and then just leave people to go and do it. When you do that, people will surprise you, especially if you get the right people. Just give people the freedom, but tell them clearly what it is you expect. And when you do that, they'll hold themselves accountable. If you try to micromanage them or tell them do it this way, that way, or whatever, they then get into a process of following the process. And I have a great story of when I lived in Germany, and it was a bit like Florida summer. We had 5 days of torrential rain, and on the sixth day I'm driving into work, and there's a guy from the local council, city council, and he's got Wellingtons on, he's stood in 6 inches of water, and he's watering the plants, and the plants are stood in 6 inches of standing water. And I thought, this is crazy. What's going on here? And I asked my team, and they said, oh, it's the rule in the city we live in. If the temperature is over 80 degrees, we have to water the plants. But the plants are stood in 6 inches of water. It's the rule. So this guy who's drowning the plants, that's not his fault because he's following a process. He should have had the opportunity to say, this is crazy, I'm not doing this.
Wow. And he didn't have that. He wasn't able to think for himself.
Well, he was told this is the rule. And if you follow the rule, then who's accountable? The person who made the rule. So sometimes people just say, you know what, I don't want to take accountability. I'll just follow the process, and if it fails, I don't care, because I did what I was told. So, you know, this is why you have to hold them accountable for outcomes. Hold them accountable for the plants being healthy, and then they'll look at that and say, actually, watering plants stood in 6 inches of water makes no sense.
Right. He should have been removing the water from the plant. He should be getting the water out of there. Wow, this is amazing. I love this.
Rather than water
the
plants.
So we have focus is, yeah, focus on, we have to figure out what we're going to do, and then we, the accountability piece is really measuring and who should be doing things and,
uh-huh.
you know, getting that understanding and hold them responsible for outcomes.
Yep.
And then we want to keep it simple, so
yep.
meaning that we want to be clear about everything that we're doing.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, and then the transparency piece is where we're measuring results and
correct.
Making adjustments. Is that how you share that with people?
If you want me to go on a diet to lose 10 pounds in 10 weeks, there's two ways we can do this. I can email you every now and again telling you how I'm feeling, or I could be down your office every Monday stood on the scales.
Uh-huh.
Which of
okay,
those
so
two... Which of those two approaches is going to get me to the goal? It isn't me emailing you how I'm feeling. Oh, I feel like I've lost a few pounds. Excuse me, get on the scales. Let's see the reality of the performance. And when we do this measurement as leaders, what we need to look to do is not look to punish or blame people if it's not going well. Because a lot of times when we start the transparency, it's like a diet. The first time you get on the scales, you look down and think, oh, Jesus, I didn't realize I weighed that much. I need to go on a diet. So we have to give ourselves a little bit of leeway when we realize we're not performing as we should do, and then put the plan in place to progress. And as leaders, when we're doing that measurement, there's a couple of things we should be doing. One is, if they're on track, say, good job, well done. And if they're not on track, saying, okay, what can I do to help you? And if you take that approach, you'll get a lot more trust and people will be a lot more responsive to trying to fix it. If you start shouting at them and getting aggressive about it, then they're just going to go into the shell. They won't take accountability for it. And you won't make the progress. So you need to be encouraging people, and as leaders, and if it's your own business, you should be supporting your team. We're not there
absolutely.
To just command and you know, do this, do that. You know, as leaders, we should be there to support our team. Anybody who works in my business, their good performance is 200% aligned with what I want. So I should do everything in my power to make them successful.
I totally agree. Now, how do you work in what you call an area of alignment and getting people to really move in the same direction and, you know, describe how you make that happen?
You have to have, so it comes back to, you know, focus. We have to understand clearly what it is we're trying to do. And we have to be able to put that in words that we can explain and that they can understand. And then we need to let people know what their role is in that. And when we do that, we'll have everybody pulling in the same direction.
So you get their buy-in. You're getting everybody to buy into the vision
A good way of getting the buy-in is, you know, if I say to you, oh, by the way, I want you to make me spaghetti bolognese for tea, I'll be there at 5, and I walk out of the door, have I got your buy-in? No, I've just
not
issued...
Not necessarily.
But if I say to you, I want you to make me spaghetti bolognese, do you have everything you need to do that? Are you free to do that? Is there anything else you need from me? And when they say no, now you've got their buy-in. They've just told you that they've got everything they need to do in order to be successful. Now they've accepted accountability. We cannot delegate accountability. We have to ask people, do you have everything you need? And when they say yes, boom, now they're accountable.
This is very helpful. And if you are just tuning in, we are today with our leadership expert, Gordon Treadgold. We're talking about his newest book, Fast, with 4 principles every business needs for achieving success and driving results. We are getting back to basics. We're learning how to set up our framework and our structure here and really getting clear about what it's going to take for us to be successful in business, and really excited that you're joining us. Now, I know that you have really been making inroads in speaking and getting out there, and share with us a little bit more about, you know, some of the things that you're doing to get the message out about your work. I mean, this is growing tremendously.
So I do a lot of blogging. I have a radio show that I talk about on. And yeah, I go out and I speak on FAST. And I do, and I coach people on it. So I'd like to get out even further. I think, you know, I think FAST has the potential to really help people, because one of the things I really pride myself on is that, you know, my key strength is simplicity, keeping things simple. And I'm a big fan of, when I write a book, I don't want you to read the book and think, wow, this is complicated, he must be a genius. I want you to read it and think, wow, now I get it. Now you think you're a genius because you want to understand it. And I think FAST, I explain it in a way that it is powerful and it will allow people to actually be able to go and implement it and use it. And when I speak at a lot of companies, you just see the light go on and they go, yes, got it. I spoke at one university where they made me a visiting professor, and I talked about an example of, I worked at a company and we had 47 key performance indicators, all of which were green, all of which said we were doing a great job, and yet the business absolutely hated us. And when I started to investigate it, what I found was that the only three things the business were interested was, is the product available? Is the product working? Can we do we get it delivered on time? And those three things were not measured in any of the 47 measurements. So we threw the other 47 away, and then we measured those three things. And once they were green and doing well, then the customer was happy. And I said, you know, we focused on the wrong thing. We had 47 things that brought no value, and as soon as we got rid of them and focused on three, customers were happy. And one of the professors wrote to me and said, after your talk, I went back to my office and he said, I'm not prepared to tell you how many KPIs I had, but I've now got four.
So he came back and he followed your guideline to simplicity.
Went back and he said, I'm measuring things that add no value.
And wasting a lot of time. And wasting a lot of time measuring, too, because it takes time to measure things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's like going on a diet. You can measure your body fat. You can measure your weight. Or you could just ask yourself, does the dress I want to wear fit, yes or no?
That's it.
You know,
we're getting
out,
down to simplicity. Absolutely. Now, you in your book, FAST, you have, you know, quite a few ways for, you know, businesses to simplify. So without actually going through the 10 that you list in the book, can you give us a couple more things that businesses can do in our last minute and a half on the show today that they can do to simplify,
do
and how they can reach you, because that's important.
So there's two things I would say to simplify. One is, imagine you've only got 25% of the time available, the required time available to deliver it. Now what would you do? And that will get you to focus on what's important, and anything that doesn't make the list of things you should do, consider forgetting it. And then for another area for simplicity is, when you're dealing with experts, Einstein, IQ of 160, he said, if you cannot explain it simply, then you don't understand it. And if you're dealing with experts, whether it's lawyers, doctors, architects, whatever, if they can't explain to you clearly so that you can understand, then they don't understand. And make sure that all of your experts can explain it to you, because that way you'll understand it, you'll be able to communicate it to the rest of your team, and it will keep things simpler. And people can get hold of me. They can follow me on Twitter at GordonTredgold.com or at my website, GordonTredgold.com. And we're going to do the book launch at Tech Runway at FAU on October 20th, 6 p.m. And if anybody wants to come down and get a signed copy, feel free to do that.
Wow, that is in beautiful Boca Raton, Florida, and you'll definitely want to come and join us. I'm your host, Lori Wilk. It has been such an amazing time having an opportunity to talk to the number one leadership expert to follow on Twitter, Inc. Magazine's Top 100 Leadership Expert, Gordon Treadgold. Folks, until we get together again, you know my motto, be successful and be safe. Thank you, Gordon, and goodbye
Thank
for now,
everyone.
Thank you
very much for having me, Lori.
All right, talk to you soon.
Bye.